Hi, everybody. This is Scott Saad. J.K. Rowling is in hot water again. Let me read you a small excerpt from an article published by Pink News. I will post the link to this article in the description. A new book penned by J.K. Rowling finds her private detective protagonist Cormoran Strike investigating a cis male serial killer who dresses up as a woman to kill his cis male victims, according to an early write-up. By cis, it means someone that is of that biological sex and who presents themselves of that sex, also known as 99.9% of humanity. Why are people so angry about that plot line? Well, because it turns out, according to the folks in question, that it puts transgender people at much greater likelihood of violence because of the plot line. Now, there are so many places that I can go with this critique, but let's pick one or two to focus on for today's clip. In 1980, a classic movie was released, directed by the very famous director Brian De Palma. The movie was called Dressed to Kill. If you don't want to know the plot line, turn away. One of my favorite movies, it's a movie that recounts the story of a killer who dresses up as a woman to go after one particular woman, in this case, who is played by Angie Dickinson, the famous actress from the 1970s. The actor who plays the killer turns out to be none other than Sir Michael Caine, the very accomplished British actor who is in the movie a psychiatrist and who dresses up as a woman, because if memory serves me right, he is conflicted about his sexuality. He wishes to have a transsexual operation, and to the extent that one of his clients, in this case Angie Dickinson, one of his patients, is causing him to experience sexual arousal as a man, that creates conflict in him and he wishes to kill her. So it is about a man who dresses up as a woman to kill another woman. I guess we should cancel that movie because it is endangering the lives of transgender people. Let me go to point number... Now, of course, Silence of the Lambs, the serial killer, is also someone who fits within that rubric. So a couple of points. Number one, have we gotten to the stage now where we can't have a villain that is of any identity other than if he is called Roscoe White and he's from Arkansas and he's a Trump supporter who's married to his sister and he chews tobacco? And not only is he called Roscoe Tanner or Roscoe White, but his dog is named Roscoe. So all villains. So if the movie is about the U.S. Navy SEALs going to Yemen to kill terrorists in Yemen, the terrorist should not be called Abdul Rahman and Osama Ahmad Hussein. They should be called Roscoe White. Because if you depict the terrorists in Yemen as being of a particular ethnicity or a particular religion, then bruh, Islamophobia, you're marginalizing those people. So the only way to get around that particular attack or criticism or concern is to ensure that moving forward, only white men who are certainly not dressed as women should be, so they should be dressed in suits or in cut-off t-shirts. They should be named Roscoe. They should have a dog named Roscoe. And all villains should fit that profile so that we can stay consistent to the notion that white males suffer from two pathologies. They're white and they're male. So they suffer from toxic masculinity and white toxicity, and perhaps also white fragility. That makes sense for a serial killer or a terrorist to be a white male. So imagine the level to which the identity politics cancer has spread, that you can't have a movie where a transvestite is a serial killer. By the way, here's another point. To confuse transsexualism and transgenderism and transvestites that itself would be typically referred to as transphobia, because these are very different things. A transvestite, in most cases, is a heterosexual male who enjoys dressing as a woman. They don't suffer from, or they don't exhibit any patterns of gender identity confusion. So they're not transgendered, they just dress that way. Transsexuals are those that wish to actually have an operation to switch from one sex to the other. So you can be a transgendered person without wanting to be transsexual, and you can certainly be a transgendered person without wanting to be a transvestite. So the fact that a movie about a cis male who is a transvestite and who goes on to kill women is now being construed as a form of transphobia, I think that is transphobic. But of course, whatever. What else can I say about this? I'm not sure what's the end outcome here. I'm not sure where this can go. As you probably know, my prophetic satire struck again. The Oscars now, I think in 2024, will mandate that a movie cannot be up for a Academy Award if it doesn't meet certain diversity, inclusion, and equity criteria. Well, I already satirized this many months ago. I had predicted this. Identity politics is a cancer to the human spirit. It removes the dignity of the individual and simply places people within very tight pigeonholes of either oppressors or victims. And in today's world, to be a victim is to win the sweepstakes. If you're not a victim, you manufacture victimhood. Read The Parasitic Mind out in 3 weeks. By the way, I should also mention that the idea that watching a movie about a transvestite serial killer will likely cause increased violence against transgender people is so insanely incorrect. First of all, it attributes much greater causality to the power and effect of movies. Young men kill other young men not because of rap lyrics and not because of violent video games, because young men have been killing other young men way before violent video games and rap lyrics have ever existed. This is something that I discuss in several of my books, where I talk about how social constructivism creates a completely false causality about what causes certain behaviors. If only we didn't have raunchy music videos, then teenagers would not be having sex and everybody would be monastically celibate. It is idiotic. It is a wrong view of human nature. It is wrong social science. It's incorrect causality. I do have a section in The Parasitic Mind on faux causality. Transgender people are certainly prone to being harassed and bullied more. That's not because of a movie or a book that's based on J.K. Rowling. That's because typically there'll be people within their milieu who are asses. Some of the meanest people that you can ever encounter as a young person are your fellow peers, who will bully you if you look differently, if you act differently, if you're overweight. So what causes the greatest amount of pain to many people who are, quote, in the minority is typically their peers meting out the horrifying, endless bullying. So it's not that I'm rejecting the idea that transgender people, for example, are prone to bullying, and it is a reprehensible reality. I'm the guy, by the way, in high school who would come to the defense of someone being bullied, whether they were tall or short, black or white, transgender or not, because I despise that. And that's why I today keep doing the same thing, standing up, putting my neck on the line to fight for injustices. So transgender bigotry exists and we should fight it, but it's not going to come because J.K. Rowling has a movie about a transvestite male serial killer. Take care, everybody.